Matthew chapter 5, I will not be staying in this chapter. I will be running around because I want to preach on a specific beatitude here in Matthew 5, as I have already preached on some. And while I'm doing that, preacher, I need you to come up here. I pulled this thing to get it tightened in my belt, and it came loose, and I don't... I don't know how to get it back. And while we're looking, I can't even get it off my belt, Luke. Can you see it?
No, not really.
I ate too much tonight. Now my belt's tight.
No, it's got caught right there.
It's caught right there.
Caught right there.
I wish we'd get some Baptist caught in something tonight.
Amen.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
No, you didn't hurt me.
I did it. I'll take the blame for it.
I can't see it.
Yeah. We're both in trouble tonight.
Can it go in there?
Can it go?
There it is.
You got
it now. Whoop.
You had it.
Got one side.
I didn't break it, did I?
No, that's happened.
I've done it before. I know I've done it before. And I was just making sure that it was on, and I pulled it the wrong direction and snapped it right off my belt, so... Pardon me, but now that's the first thing I've done wrong all day, so I'll have to get this straight. Forgive me, I shouldn't have even said that. Lord help us. Matthew 5. I want to get this thing back flying the right way. And me. I believe it is flying the right way. It's just, I've got a lot on my mind tonight. I got a lot on my mind. I hope you do. And this thing I've got on my mind tonight here in Matthew chapter 5, I want you to stand with me while I read, starting in verse 1. I have one of the Beatitudes that I want to lift out that I'm interested in tonight. I'm going to read on down through to until I get to it. Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, not just say they do, but they do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This is the one I'm interested in tonight. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Well, that last part of that verse blesses me. I'm going to see God someday. I'm going to see Him as He is. Revelation says we're going to behold His face. Well, you say, well, are you saying you're pure in heart? Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that God washed me and made me clean one day. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. How can you not be pure if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb? How can you not be pure if the holy Word of God has washed you clean, as is spoken of in Ephesians 5, verse 26? And how can you not be clean if you're around Him who is clean and He's in your life? And so, blessed are the pure in heart. The matter of our problem in most churches today is the matter of the heart. God doesn't change the heart, the man ain't going to get changed. What's wrong with folk today that I've pastored and had to deal with about their soul? And it was just that. Their heart had never been changed. And therefore their life never changed. And the reason folk don't change and go toward God and live a better life than they live, because getting saved makes you have a better life.
Right.
And if they don't get a better life, they never got their heart fixed. They get their heart washed. And when I say that, I'm saying that the pure in heart, that is where your emotion lies. And your choices and your determinations all lie in your heart. If you study this word heart here, it is connected to the feelings and the emotions and the will and the choices and the determinations made in you.
Right.
Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Right.
Heard it years ago. The problem of the heart is the heart of the problem. I know you heard that before. But it bears repeating. Jesus said these things. If I preach this, I'm preaching what Jesus preached.
Right.
I may not preach so much about Him, but I'm going to preach about what He said. I heard this morning messages on who He is. We need to know who He is. But I want to preach tonight on what He does. And how He does it. And if I preach on what He does and how He does it, you're going to learn something about Him. So Lord, help us tonight while I preach. Help us, God. Help people to hear. I want to thank You, Lord, for lifting this portion of Scripture back up into my heart again and back into my life. And I want to thank You, Lord, that God, You've allowed me to meditate on these things again and re-examine them. And Lord, to see Him manifested again by remembrance in my heart, that I remember the day, God, that You saved me, and I felt so clean. I never wanted to sin again, God. I wanted to be so right, God. And I thank You that You made things that are clean to be things that I enjoyed. Thank You, Lord, for the washing of regeneration. Thank You, Lord, for Lord, You said in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Thank You, Lord, that You washed us and made us clean. Now I know, Lord, that there are other portions of Scripture that tell us, God, that we are to wash our hands, that God, we are to cleanse our lives. And Lord, I do believe that You want us to live holy. And to be holy, Lord, help us to get up somehow tonight underneath Thy Word and pull the string that lets the water pour out on us. I pray, Lord, the Holy Ghost would pour that water out on us tonight. And that the Holy Ghost, as is spoken of in the book of 1 Peter, that, Lord, He sprinkles our hearts with the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank You, God, for the Word. The precious, blessed work of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I didn't know to call it all that when I got saved. I knew I needed God, and I knew I got to God through Jesus. I knew that because I'd heard it. It's the only reason I knew it. I want to thank Him for what I'd heard. I pray tonight You'll help God people to hear. They've heard and heard and heard, but I pray they'd come to a hearing, a time of understanding, a time of enlightenment, a time, Lord, where their hearts, God, have the Holy Ghost light shed on it. And I'll thank You for it. I plead the blood of Jesus against the devil, and I thank You, Lord, for letting us be here. I pray You'd bind the forces of evil and give us liberty again further into this service. And I'll thank You in Jesus' blessed, holy, precious name. And I want to thank You for putting this message on my heart. And I'll praise You, Lord, for helping us tonight in Jesus' name. And amen. You may be seated. I want to just define the word as it is in definition. As I studied the word pure, blessed are the pure in heart. The word pure means simply to be clean. It means to have a clearing of things. It means to have things cleared out. It means to be pruned. It means to be purged. It means free from corruption. That's what the definition of pure means. The word heart means the thoughts or feelings, the middle or center of all spiritual life. It's the soul of the mind, as it is in the fountain or the seat of the thoughts and the passions and the desires, the appetites of life, the affections, the purposes, the endeavors, the understanding, the seat of intelligence. Now, you went, ain't be able to write all that down quick as I said it, but I just wanted you to understand that I believe that God works on that innermost man. And God says to put on that new man, which is renewed after godliness and holiness and all that. And that we're to put that new man on us. God's done something in us. We are to apply it on our lives. Now, I want to preach a little bit too about this fact that he said, blessed are. I believe that's a present tense word. It means I am right now. Blessed are the pure in heart. Most people will interpret this verse to mean also, and I know I brought it out, that we shall see God and someday we'll see Him as He is with my eyes. As Job said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Let my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, He said. And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. But there's another verse that says a present tense truth about seeing God. It says in Hebrews 2:9, after it explains who He is, it says, but we see Jesus. And so I believe that there is a spiritual sight and there will be a physical sight. I believe when He said, blessed are the pure in spirit, for they shall see God. I believe those that are saved have already had glimpses of Christ in their life. They've seen who He is. They have witnessed His person. They have witnessed His body. They have been around His stuff. They have felt His touch. Ah, for the touch of God. Oh, for God to come by again and wash somebody clean. It is a work of God. You will not wash yourself in a pure way so you can go to heaven. But you will be made pure in your heart by the God of heaven. If God don't do it, it won't get done. We've already heard that. But with God, it's not impossible. How does the Holy Ghost walk into the heart of a man and into the soul of a man and change his heart and give him a new heart and give him a... I tell you, I got a heart transplant. The doctor said I needed one. I already had one. Amen. I got one that they can't figure out. They can't even find it. It's not visible to the human eye. But they can see it in my life. Amen. They ought to see it in our lives. The Bible talks much about the truths of purity and how even the Old Testament tabernacle in the book of Leviticus chapter 24 was made of pure gold. It had in it, for the light, pure oil. It had a pure candlestick. I did a study on that candlestick. That candlestick in our day, if 1 ounce of gold is worth $325, and it's worth more than that now, I think that was some years ago, that candlestick would have cost today $650,000. It was the most expensive piece of furniture in the tabernacle. It represents the church, which was bought with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The church, nothing is as expensive to God on this earth as His church. And it was made out of solid, pure gold. And it constantly speaks in Leviticus 24, of the pure. Pure gold, pure oil, pure candlestick, pure table, pure frankincense. Psalm chapter 12, verse number 6 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I have the pure words of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Seed that is pure. Seed that is clean. Seed that is holy. Seed that is right. And He planted it in my heart. Amen! And if you're saved, you have pure words erupting in your soul. My Bible says in the book of Corinthians, He wrote His words in our heart. I believe just like He did on that mount with Moses when He wrote them with His finger, so He wrote them in my heart the day He saved me. Amen. It doesn't say He chiseled them out. He wrote them with His finger. Here's this piece of stone. And He just took His finger and went... There it was. Thou. Shall. Not. I mean, He just... I'm telling you, He didn't have to go... He just took His finger and went... Right in the stone. Do you believe that? I do. God, that's impossible. We heard that it ain't impossible with God already, didn't we?
That's right.
And it's not impossible for Him to do something in you you can't do in yourself.
Right. Amen.
Blessed are. Present tense.
Yes.
Right now.
Right.
Are the pure in heart.
Right. Yeah.
It must mean that it's a present tense truth to have a pure heart. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to be pure and clean. I'm on my way pure and clean. Not in myself. In myself, as we heard again tonight, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I find the law in my members working against my soul and my spirit. Fighting me. But you remember the day you got saved, how clean you felt? How God made you His child? Can you even consider what a special thing that means? You are my people. I'm telling you, church, there ain't nothing like God saves people. Now, I gotta get somewhere. I'm heading somewhere. I gotta get there. Let's just go ahead and go to it. We'll go to it. Acts 15. I'm probably primarily gonna be camping out in this truth. In Acts 15, I'm not gonna camp out in Acts 15. I'm gonna camp out on this truth that's found there. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Ain't nobody overboard, is there?
Nope.
If there is, I got a life preserver. I'll throw it at you. I'll try to toss the lifeboat over the side of the ship. But I'm not going to waste my time waiting on you to get in it. I'm preaching.
Amen.
Climb in, honey. Amen. Amen. Acts chapter 15. Now, here in Acts 15, the Pharisees are arguing with the early church about a physical thing called circumcision. And Peter said... No, God doesn't save you because you are or you ain't. And they were arguing with Peter because he'd been at the house of one called Cornelius, who was of the Italian band. He was an Italian man, which means he was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. And these Jews said, no, if they're going to get saved and they're Gentiles, they're going to have a physical thing. And that just, all they are is like a bunch of Baptists I know that are trying to get God to accept them by doing physical things all the time.
Right.
Thank you. Amen. Yeah, thank you, brother. Thank you for saying yeah, Brother Justin. Thank you, brother. Now, what's wrong with the rest of you? Anyway, no. I mean, preacher said amen. But anyway, so what we got is we've got an age-old argument in Acts 15.
Right.
And Peter stands up and says, men and brethren, I'm going to paraphrase it. I was there when it happened and I ought to know.
Right.
I'm a witness of what God did in that Gentile house when I went there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost fell on them as well as we. And I believe it's verse 9 where it says, purifying their hearts by faith. Is that verse 9?
Yeah. Yeah.
Purifying their hearts. Well, blessed are the pure heart.
Yeah.
Peter is explaining how they got their hearts purified.
Yeah.
Purifying their hearts by faith.
Yep.
Faith in what? Well, now I got to go to Acts 10. So I'm going to camp out on what happened at the house of Cornelius. How did they get a purified heart? And I'm going to tell some of you right now, you've already had the preacher tell you this already. It ain't nothing new. It ain't nothing new about what Peter preached. I ain't going to give you nothing new. I'm going to give you something true.
Amen.
And that's chapter number 10. I heard the old preacher say, if it's new, it ain't true. If it's old, it's been told. And so I'm going to give you that old story of how God worked in this man's heart called Peter to get into a man's life called Cornelius.
Right.
And if you're right with God, He'll talk to you about what you need to do.
Right.
I'm talking about if you're saved, He'll help you to help somebody.
Right.
And if you're lost, He'll have somebody help you. It's His design. It's His way. And so, I think maybe Peter might have had a low blood sugar attack on the roof. And he got real, real hungry. I'm talking, he got so bad hungry, he just about could not stand it. It says he hadn't eaten anything for a while, and he was on that roof. He and on his journey, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. I'm not, just for sake of time, I'm not going to read it all. But Peter was on the rooftop, and Peter went up the mountain, up in the housetop, and started to pray in verse 9 about the sixth hour, which would have been about noon. Usually people get hungry about noon. That's dinner time. And he became very hungry and had a sugar attack, a low blood sugar attack. It doesn't say that. Well, I've been very hungry, and that's what I always use that excuse for. But sometimes I've used that as an excuse while my wife was shopping and looking at dresses and stuff, and I was having a blood sugar attack, so I had to go get something to eat. And so, but that wasn't why he had it. He had it because he was hungry, because it was noon. And so, amen. And so he was, while he was laying there, he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, in other words, he must have told them, "Hey, fix me something to eat. The preacher's hungry." And so they went down to fix it for him, made it ready. He fell into a trance, verse 11. Saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners let down to the earth. When were all manner four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air? There came a voice to him saying, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "No, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." Don't call it unholy or unclean or defiled. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." That's a good way to serve God. That'll give you some preaching stuff. When you preach and you ain't doubting what you're doing, you'll preach.
Amen. Right.
And I ain't doubting what God told me to tell you tonight. That if you have a pure heart, you're going to see God. You're going to see God. What a wonderful truth. What a blessed truth. Ought to make Baptists shout. doubt none. Now Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him for Cornelius. I guess I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Y'all got time. You ain't got nothing but that. Most of you don't have enough money to worry about it. Verse 21. And said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause whereof ye are now come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, of good report among all nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Why would the Lord tell him he needed to hear words from another man? And so then those words that they believed purified their hearts? Just words like that? You mean, well, anyway, I'll go on. Then called he them in, lodged them, verse 23. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. He was going to have a revival meeting at his house. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. And I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayers heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon the tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now let me tell you what will help you as much as it helped Cornelius. To believe that what the preacher is saying is a command, and you better obey it. Right. Hey, man, Brother Tim! Woo-hoo! Thank you. He said, I'm going to give you words. I'm going to command you to do something. He didn't say, well, now it'd be nice if you'd do it. As long as you think it's a convenient time for you and if you feel it good enough. See, first off, their hearts were prepared to hear it this way.
That's it.
Y'all, am I reading you out of the Bible? I haven't even explained it to you yet, but this is the way that God said He was going to save Cornelius. Huh?
Yep.
Peter said, God chose certain of us. I'll show it to you. It's in this text. It's also in Acts chapter 1. But he said, things commanded thee, verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respect of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. You better thank God if he's let you in on anything. It means you've been chosen to get in on it. I don't know if I believe that or not. Then don't believe God wants to help you. Don't believe He chose you. Sit there on your Baptist nothing.
Yeah.
And get nothing.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
He said, we were chosen to hear these words.
Right.
What do you want? God sent men in my life as a boy. Brother, you said you ran after the Bible to get your peace. I ran after more religion because that's all I knew. Even though I ran after more religion and thought if I did more, God would accept me. God let me know it wasn't in my works. I fell at that old blue couch that night and begged God to save a poor old sinner. I was no better than you.
Amen.
I was on a Baptist church pew. You came from a bar stool. But God saves old
Amen.
Sinners.
Amen.
That's what He saves.
Hallelujah.
You're a candidate for salvation if you just will present yourself as an old sinner. I believe that. Believe with all my heart. God chose me to hear what I heard. Who you think you are? I think I'm one of the chosen. But I ain't like some of them other Baptists. I ain't one of the frozen. I enjoy what I got. I remember hearing Dr. Ray say one day, "You're all upset because I said I'm chosen. Don't get upset because I'm enjoying what God gave me." You mean God? He knew where I was. He knew who I was. He knew where I was. He knew who to bring by that would open my heart to the truth that the Holy Ghost would do His work through. I'm telling you that God, Peter said, He chose us to hear it so we could tell you. Man, I'm here to tell you what. I know why I'm here. I don't know why you're here. I know why I'm here.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you how God will purify your heart.
Amen.
Blessed are the pure in heart. I'm showing you how God purified their hearts. Now look at it with me. Just keep on looking. Let's keep on. I think it's important that I read this tonight. Now, let's see. Not all people. Verse 41. I'm sorry. I have that underlined in my Bible with double lines. Not to all people. Sorry. So I don't believe that. Well, I heard the other day that it's sufficient for all people, but God chose to come by my way one day. I don't know why He didn't choose to go by somebody else's, but I'm glad He did mine. I don't understand all that, Brother Justin. It don't make me better than nobody else. It just means God had me on His mind. But unto witnesses chosen for God, chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. Now verse 42. And He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Let me explain something to you. You know what's wrong with a lot of folk that they say just all you got to do is believe? They don't think that it has anything to do with the remission of sins. Sins being taken away from you. Can I explain to you what remission of sins means by definition? It means to be unhooked from your sin. Not only does it mean that you're forgiven of what you've been, but you're unhooked from what you've been. You know what Peter was saying? Cornelius, when you get saved, you won't be the same ever again. Woo! You're going to go in a new direction, Cornelius. You're going to have a new appetite for the things of God. You've had religion, but now you're going to have Jesus. While Peter yet spake these words, verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. You hear me, friend? It is not word only, and it ain't just emotional frenzy. It is the Word and the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost pours His Word and Himself into the truth and stirs it up in your heart so that it can be yours.
Amen. Yeah.
Holy Ghost work.
Yeah.
It ain't just, well, I believe what was said.
Right.
No, the Holy Ghost fell on the words.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Explain that to me, okay? The Holy Ghost fell on the words. I thought you were going to explain. I just did.
Amen.
Somebody said, how you know? How do you know if it wasn't just word only? If it was just word only, if it wasn't just word only, you wouldn't be asking me how I know. You'd be telling me it was the Spirit and the truth.
Right.
You won't be saying, how do you know? You'll be saying, amen, that's what happened.
Yeah.
That is exactly how it came to me.
Yeah.
The good Holy Ghost of God made His Word real to me.
Yeah.
I couldn't deny it. I'll tell you what, it just is though, it's just as though God. He said, uh-huh, I love you.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, He loves me.
Yeah.
He loves me. Lord, save me. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it no more. It's all done.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Say, you mean it was that real? Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Nobody, I didn't need no soul winner there
right.
to tell me I got saved
Amen.
And give me a church.
Yeah.
The good Holy Ghost of God told me I was all right.
Yeah.
And He's been telling me ever since. The witness of the Holy Ghost lives in me.
Right. Amen.
You wouldn't be asking me, well, how do you know the Holy Ghost is in it? When He's in it, you won't be asking me.
Amen.
He won't just be those words on that page.
Right.
Somehow, I don't know. It's just God tells you. It's for you. It's real.
Yeah.
You can have it.
Yeah.
You're going to confuse people. Well, I'm sorry if that confuses you. This was Peter's testimony of what happened. He said the Holy Ghost fell on them as He did on us at the first. I can't deny what I saw in the house of Cornelius, you bunch of Pharisees. They got saved. God purified their hearts by faith. You want to add to it or take away from it? And you want to deny it, not believe it? That's totally up to you. You can be one of them Pharisees that don't believe the witness of a preacher.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Right.
Woo! I'm preaching like I got some authority about it.
Amen.
Just like Peter did. Listen, I know what I've seen and I know what I've heard and I know what I've experienced and I know what God's done for some folk. The Holy Ghost fell on them. I would not deny something that was that real
right.
and stand back and say, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Now, there's some things that just, right now, but it, you know it. Well, what if you find out you were wrong? Well, Peter, was Peter wrong? Did he find out he was wrong? No, he found out he was right. Anybody with me? Oh, he said, I was there. Danny said to them Pharisees, I was there. He said, I saw the Holy Ghost fall on them, the evidence of God in their life. He said, no doubt. I saw God working in them. I saw God working on them. I felt God just like I felt Him when He fell on us.
Yeah.
Hey, how long have you been you felt God like that?
Right.
I'm scared of feelings. I tell you what, I'm more scared of no feelings than I am feelings.
Yeah, you're right. Amen.
I get to where I don't have no feelings. I'm like, what is wrong with me? I'm getting numb.
Yeah.
When you ain't got no feelings, you're getting numb.
Yeah.
One of the good things about feeling pain is you know something's wrong.
Right.
Well, it's a feeling. What about when you feel good? Doctor asked me here some time back. He said, well, how you feeling? I said, what's that matter? I got a heart problem. I'm here for you to tell me how I'm doing. He said, oh, you don't think feelings has anything to do with it? He's a doctor now. He told me this. He said, what if you told me you didn't feel good? I mean, there might be something bad wrong if I don't feel good. He said, so if you feel good, there must be something right. Well, that's really educated, ain't it? So well, I'm not going by feelings. Wait a minute. You remember that woman that touched the hem of his garment? First she'd heard about others that had touched his garment. Some facts came to her. Then some faith came. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And when she did, she felt in her body. Now the feelings didn't come first. The facts did. And then the faith.
Yeah.
If I can just touch him with his garment. Listen, if you're looking for feelings apart from facts and apart from faith, you can get some feelings. But if they hook up with that book and they hook up with the work of God, I ain't scared of them.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. I ain't scared of them. Peter wasn't scared of his feelings, was he? He's saying to them Pharisees, look, I was there. Y'all want to argue about circumcision? Y'all want to argue about all that mess? And you want to tell me I was wrong to go down there and preach to them Gentiles? Hooey on you. Baloney on you. Got no use for your feelings or your thinking. I was there. And I saw what God did.
Right.
Man, I'm feeling good right now, brother.
Hey.
Listen, I'm not preaching like you did today about who He is and all the beauty of Him. But boy, this is beautiful. See how He works.
He is, yeah. Amen.
This is God's way of doing it.
Yeah. Amen.
He erupted in the soul of a preacher.
Yeah.
A message to preach.
Right.
Take it to Him. And when He did, God did exactly what God does.
Yeah.
I think I could break a pew in half. I feel like Samson. I think I can grab the gates of that city and walk up the hill with them. Amen. You say why? Why? Because I know the power of God. I know how God works. I've been where He works. I'm here to testify. Blessed are the pure in heart. Because that's my text verse. As you know, I did a bunch of jumping and jumped off of them, and I've done a lot of swimming. But it's all hooked up to blessed are the pure in heart. That house of Cornelius, God fell on them. And then he and all his got baptized. They identified with the truth they heard and that old preacher man that God sent to them. Aren't you happy for the message that came to you?
Amen.
And I'm telling you this, I'm glad for the man God used in my life too.
Yeah.
Huh?
Right.
That man was an obedient man, just like Ananias, when he put his hand on Saul before he became Paul and said, Brother Saul, God sent me to talk to you about where you are, what He wants out of you.
Yeah.
God said, a man. Hoo-wee. I'm glad He sent the Holy Ghost. I'm glad He sent His Son. I'm glad for the way God worked in my life. I don't deserve it. I wasn't seeking for it until God started wanting up me. I never would have went after God if He hadn't gone out. Never would have. My heart wasn't toward God. Well, did Cornelius get the message?
Did he get? Did he and all his get purified hearts? Well, but that was their testimony. Oh, so God does it different than somebody else? I'm talking about the saving part?
No.
Saving part's the same. Maybe the circumstances ain't the same. You was in the mountains of the Carolinas, rebellious with a pair of shorts on under the tent. I heard it. I remember it.
Yeah.
But you was there when it happened, so you all know.
Yeah.
And you might know how God started speaking to your heart.
Yeah.
You know, I can say, I can hook up with what you've said.
Yeah.
I felt some of the same stuff.
Yeah. Amen.
When you eat mashed potatoes, green beans, and roast with gravy all over it, you know what it tastes like. And if I eat it, I know what it tastes like. And if you've ever had God the Holy Ghost work repentance and faith in you, you know what it tastes like.
Amen.
And He's worked it in me, so I know what
right.
it tastes like.
Amen.
And when you and I go, yeah, we go, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, it was that good.
Yeah.
It was that good. Woo! The Holy Ghost fell on him. Been a while since I've seen the Holy Ghost really fall on something. I've seen people get broken. I've seen people come and pray. I'll tell you what I'm looking for is the finished fall.
That's it. That's what we're looking for.
When it just crumbles. And there ain't no question. Man, I got verse on top of verse about pure. But this is where the Holy Ghost led me tonight. You don't need to go to all them other verses now, Tim. You don't need to go and explain all that. Don't worry about it. You tell them what I did.
Amen.
At the house of Cornelius.
Amen.
You testify about what the book said.
Yeah.
About their hearts getting purified. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you.